We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My beautiful sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our sister in Christ, Miss Mary Fullerton, is here this morning. How are you today, Mary?
Just fine. Just fine.
Good to see you. Mm-hmm. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll get them uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Don't forget to like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out, Mary? Okay.
Father, we thank you for your goodness today. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we need you today. Father, we can't do anything without you, Lord. And this is your word. And Lord, we want to present it in the way that you want it presented. Lord, and we ask you to go forth and do the work, Lord, that your word needs to do in the hearts and lives of people. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that your word is always uplifting and encouraging, even if it brings forth correction, Lord, because your word says that those you love, you chasten. So, Father, when you bring correction to us, it is really you showing that you love us. And so, Lord, we just pray, Father, that that word would do what it needs to do in us today, that it would encourage and empower us, Lord, to walk closer to you and to be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title. How great is our God?
Yes, he is great. And, you know, the way that I prayed, it might seem that I'm going to bring a word of correction today, but I'm really not. But some of the scriptures that I ran across, I thought, well, you know, the Lord gave me another scripture sitting here just this morning to add to what I already had. And so I am going to go into, you know, things that happen in life. We don't just have what we say good things or blessings all the time, but life presents us with challenges, and it presents us with opportunities to grow and opportunities to change, you know. Sometimes the Lord needs to rub off a few rough places in our life. Mm-hmm. And so he allows different things to come our way as a tool to do that with. And so whatever he allows, he's in control of it all. He's walking right by our side, and he'll give us the victory. Because how great is our God? He knows how to handle everything.
He does.
So we just trust in him. Well, we are starting out this morning in Psalms, the 27th chapter. And it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. And so right here we see just right at the very start that it starts talking about whom shall we be afraid of. It starts talking about our enemies and our foes that rise up against us. And it does it in such a way that we go, what? Because it says in verse 2, they came to eat up my flesh, you know. And we just don't usually think of it in that way, to eat up my flesh. But the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, you know. And so, but God is a great, he is greater than the Lord. And no matter what the enemy tries, God is on our side, and he has promised that nothing shall by any means hurt us. We may go through a little bit of a hard time, but in the end, it's going to do us good instead of harm, because he turns it around for our good. And so, even though we have a whole bunch of people, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though even a war, like sometimes it seems like well, I was talking to somebody here this week, and they were talking about different things that had happened in their family. And it almost seemed like the whole family was against this one person, you know. Yeah. And so sometimes it's like that, you know. It seems like we're the only one that's, you know. And so, and have you ever met somebody that they thought that there needed to be changes in the situation, but they weren't thinking about changes in their own life? They were looking at everybody else, blaming it all on somebody else. They need to change. They didn't see the part that they played in it, that there was anything that they needed to change. And so, anyway, which leads me to that verse that God gave me just a while ago in Acts, the 20th chapter, and the 24th verse, but I'm going to go above that into the 18th and 19th and 20th verses of Acts, because Paul was talking about, you know, Paul had to go through a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And he said, in the 18th verse, he said, he was talking to the Christians, and he said, after the manner that I have been with you, he said, I've been with you in all seasons. Paul knew how to face good times, and he knew how to face bad times. So no matter what season he was in, he remained consistent. And see, that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to remain consistent. And so he said, I've been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. This is verse 19. And with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. There were people that were after him all the time. And how I, he said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. And then in verse 24, it goes down, and, you know, he was saying in all of these things, you know. But in verse 24, it says, but none of these things, he said, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Can we say the same thing, that none of these things in life move me? And that I can remain consistent, so that I might finish my course with joy. So that, you know, God uses these things that we go through to be a testimony to other people, because they see how we can be consistent in God. And they think about their life and they say, boy, I wish I could be that unmovable when I go through things. I wish I could remain that consistent, you know. And they want what they see in our life. It causes them to want what we've got.
I don't see how anybody can do it without God.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we can't on our own self. You know, because the word says, without me, you can do nothing. But through God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we can pull down those strongholds that so easily beset us. And we can run with patience the race that is set before us. And so I just want to encourage people today. I know people are facing a lot of horrible situations. And sometimes I look at my life and I say, Lord, how could I have it so good? Compared to other people, it doesn't seem like I'm going through anything. How did I rate having such an easy time of it? You know, sometimes. But it's just the goodness of God. You know, that's all. Because I'm not anybody special. You know, I mean, I'm not anybody any different than anybody else. You know. And I sure don't have all the answers in myself that I need. But I've got the answer giver living on the inside of me. And it says, there's a scripture that says, according to the power that works in us. What power works in us? It's the power of God. It's the power of Jesus living on the inside, you know. And because we try to pattern our life after him, he gives us all the answers. He is the answer to everything. He's got all wisdom and all power. And so when we face these things, we can turn to him and we can say, Lord, I need your help. And he's right there. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always right there to walk with us through those times. And part of the time, he carries us. Mm-hmm. He does. He carries us. And so he is our answer today. So now I'm going to go back to Psalms 27. And we are going to delve into this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Because of what I just got through saying, whom shall I fear? We don't have to be afraid of anything that the enemy brings our way. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be confident? Of whom shall I be afraid? Because we have our confidence in him. And we know we have the greater one living on the inside of us. He has all wisdom and all power and all knowledge. And he can give it to us. And he can cause things to work together for our good. in ways. He shines the light on our pathway, and we see the pitfalls. He shows us the pitfalls on either side of us so that we know not to put our foot there, you know. And so, you know, he doesn't leave us in the dark. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. How many times have we been in situations and we were just, Lord, I don't know if I can make it through this or not. And all of a sudden, the things that we thought were so big, they just evaporated right in front of us. Lord, where did they go? You know, where did they go? He said, well, I went before you and I prepared your way. I went before you, I prepared your way. Though an host should encamp against me, and my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And then this says, one thing have I desired. This is the secret right here. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And so we see that if we have the Lord in our life all the time and we turn to him and we behold his beauty and we inquire in his temple. I was thinking this morning of when Jesus was here on earth and he was at Mary and Martha's house. And Martha was encumbered about doing lots of things. She was rushing around trying to take care of all these people, trying to prepare. I don't know if they were preparing dinner for all these guests or what. But she turned to Jesus and she said, Lord, Mary's just sitting at your feet. Would you tell her to come get up and start helping me? And Jesus said, Mary has chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. He said, Martha, you are so worried about all of these things that I'm going to say it in my vernacular, that don't matter to a hill of beans. Compared to the spiritual things, all of these things in life that vie for our attention, they don't matter to a hill of beans compared to what? And when we choose to feed our spirit man over our fleshly man, we're winners because we're gaining ground on how to overcome the victory over our flesh and we have to crucify our flesh every day. So when we feed our spirit man, we are learning how to crucify our flesh. And we're learning how to be an overcomer. And that's more important than anything else, you know. And so we'll have the resources when we come against those things in life to meet them. And we won't have to dread them. Why? Because the Lord's on our side. The Lord's on our side. So we need to inquire in his temple all the time. And now I want to go into that phrase, inquire in his temple. Did you know? I'm just going to put a different slant on it. Did you know that we are the temple of the Lord? He lives on the inside of us. We are his house while he's walking. He's not here walking the earth in the flesh anymore. But he's still here living on the inside of us. We are his temple. So that we may inquire, we want to be the best temple we can be for him. And so then it says, in verse 5, it says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Jesus is the rock. He's the cornerstone. And we've got the cornerstone living on the inside of us all the time. We've got the one that is all knowledge, all grace, all forgiveness, everything that you could think of that you need. He's living on the inside of us. And all we have to do is say, Jesus. Just mention his name. Jesus. Yeah. He's right there. Right there. And he rises up. His presence just manifests when we say his name. Jesus. He's right here. He says, I'm right here. What do you need? What do you need? Well, Lord, you know, this and that and something else. He said, okay, I'll handle it, you know. You just obey me. That's the key. Our obedience. The recognizing that it's his voice leading us and his voice guiding us. And that it's not our own thoughts, because the enemy likes us to think that our thoughts are God's voice. But that scripture that says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, you know, and my ways are higher than your ways. So we need to know that we're listening to the right voice. And there's a lot of times that I have to ask the Lord for clarity. I have to ask the Lord for confirmation. There was a situation just not too long ago that that I asked the Lord, I said, because the Lord had told me to do something. And I said, I had unknowingly said something one time in a situation that I just thought I was in a place where I could express myself the way that I really, you know. And actually, I was talking about myself. And I was saying about when I first entered into a certain situation, I was kind of confused all the time. Because I said I would think that I understood things and that I got it straight. And I would go do. There was somebody that was kind of, I'm going to use this phrase, in authority over me. Mm-hmm. And I would think that I had it all straight, what he meant to do. And I would go out and I would do what I thought he meant. And then I would go back to him and I would say, well, I did this and so and this and so. And he'd say, what did you do that for? And I'd say, well, you told me to do it. And he'd say, no, I didn't. I said, well, you said this and so and this and so. And so I took it to mean this. And so I went out. He said, no, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it this way. And so I was always in a state of confusion. And so I just made a comment that, you know, I had a hard time, and I was reflecting on me. I had a hard time understanding what he wanted. And I wasn't meaning to be any reflection on him. I was meaning it to be a reflection on me. And he took it wrong. And so one day he told me, he said, Mary, we're trying to get people to do a certain thing, and all the things you've been saying are discouraging people from doing that. He said, and I'm just going to set you down, and you're not going to be allowed to do nothing in this particular situation for like 6 months. Well, I thought, well, okay, you know. So there was a certain person that usually in situations like this, a lot of times they would say to this other person, would you lead us in praise and worship? And so when they asked that person to lead them in praise and worship, he was always turning to me and saying, Mary, would you and so come up here and help me with praise and worship? And so I would do it. And I thought, well, I better go talk to this person and tell him, because I'm being set down. So I need to go tell him that if he's asked to lead in praise and worship, that he doesn't ask me to get up and help him anymore, because I've been set down. And I don't want to be an embarrassment in front of the whole group, you know, with saying I can't do that, and him saying, how come? And I'm going to say, because so-and-so told me I couldn't. Right. I didn't want that to be a bad reflection on all of us, you know. And I didn't want other people having to know what they didn't need to know, you know. And so I was trying to be protective. And so, he said, and I didn't know what I had said, because I couldn't even think of what I'd said. I'd forgotten about what I'd said. So I spent a lot of time trying to find out. And I finally did. Somebody said, well, I'll go back and I'll find that and I'll let you listen to it again. And so I did. And I said, that's what he meant. But he had taken it completely wrong, because I wasn't trying to put him on the spot. I was trying to admit the fault was mine, you know. And so that's how things can get turned around sometimes. And we get in these situations and we say, how did I get here? You know. So only God can handle those things. He can. And so, but when I went to this other person and I said, don't ask me to get up, you know, he said, well, I heard something about that. And he said, how long has he done? I said, and I told him the amount of time. And he said, that's too long. He said, I'm going to go talk to him. I said, please don't. I said, I don't want to make any more trouble. Right. And I said, I don't think it'll do any good. I just don't think it'll do any good. And he said, well, I'm going anyway. So I said, well, okay. So I was sitting at home, and I said, Lord, I don't think I can walk in there tomorrow morning. The next day was Sunday. And I said, Lord, I don't think I can walk in there tomorrow, because the very sight of me is going to remind him, you know, and it's going to upset him all over again. And I don't want to do that. So can I go somewhere else? And the Lord said, yeah. So I went somewhere else. I went where God told me to go. And I got there and I didn't say anything about it. I just said, the Lord impressed on me to come worship with you this morning. Mm-hmm. And so they said, well, we're glad to have you. And we went on with service, and the person got up and preached their sermon. And then they said, does anybody need prayer? And I thought, boy, I do. But how in the world do I ask prayer for this? You know, because I didn't want to cast a bad reflection on anybody. And so the Lord said, tell her this. So she comes over. What do you need prayer for? And God had said, tell her that you have a situation that only God can handle. Now, that could have meant anything. You know, there's lots of situations that only God can handle. So that wasn't saying anything. I mean, God, like I said, God knows just exactly how to lead us and guide us. So that's what I did. And so she laid hands on me and started praying. And I had told the Lord going over there that morning, I said, now, Lord, if I need correction this morning, if I need a reprimand, help me to take it in the right way. And that's what I was looking for. I was looking to receive a word of correction because I just automatically thought, you know, well, you know, this guy, I guess, you know, whatever. And so I was expecting a word of correction, and I just about fell over, I mean, so to speak, because this person laid hands on me, and she said out of her mouth, I just, you know, your mouth just drops open. She says, Mary, she says, God wants you to know that you are his chosen vessel. He has raised you up for just this time. And this is your time. And you are supposed to go forth and speak his word and speak what he tells you to speak. And you are not supposed to, you are supposed to be bold and not hold back anything. And she said, and like I said, I hadn't said nothing. And out of her mouth came these words. And you are not supposed to allow anybody to set you down and not allow you to speak. I just, and I'm going, oh, Lord, I was expecting a reprimand. And here you totally vindicated me. I just couldn't, you know, I just, I mean, you know, I just was just floored, you know. And so I thought, what's he going to do with this? You know, what's he going to do with this? Well, so I went back home, and then that night I went somewhere else too. But we got out real early at the other place that I went. And so I was driving around, and I was thinking, I don't know if I should go in there or not. I don't know if I should. Well, so finally I decided, well, they're almost through, I bet. They're almost through. So I think I'll just go and sit on the back seat, and because I need to talk to this other person. You know, that was going to, and see what happened. And so I'll just go and sit on the back seat. And then I'll talk to him after dismissal. And so I walked in there. You would have thought I was a celebrity. Because this same person that had told me he was, you know, going to sit me down. I walked in there and he said, well, there's that mighty woman of God, Sister Mary. Let's everybody give her a hand clap and show her how we appreciate her. And everybody just, they just erupted, I mean, in hand clapping. And I sat there and I thought, this is kind of weird because, I mean, I know what you have told me, and now you're saying something that doesn't reflect that, you know. And so I said, I wish you wouldn't do things like that, you know, to myself. I said, I wish you wouldn't do things like that. So anyway, they were through, and so I got up and I was walking toward the front, and he came toward me and he said, we missed you this morning. And I said, well, I was just honest with him. I said, well, I said, I didn't know. I just didn't feel like I could receive from you what I needed this morning. So I asked the Lord if I could go somewhere else. And he directed me where to go. He said, yeah. He said, I watch her on Facebook. And he said, I saw you there. And he said, I said, that looks like Sister Mary. I said, yep, that's where I was. He said, well, did you get what you needed this morning? And I said, yep, I did. I didn't tell him right then. I said, yep, I did. And so he walks on, goes toward the back of the room.
Would now be a good time for a prayer break.
We need to take a prayer break now.
Okay.